Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan from KFC. My question is for Dato Hamdila. Now, early on, you mentioned that while you were in BLNG, and after that, when you were in the minister, you did not learn how to be a businessman. Now, that point from your previous job. Now, from what you said, the whole question was in my mind the whole night, which is this. Being in those roles before, would that have helped you in what you're doing now? I mean, you're running your own business, being your entrepreneur. Because if you are hearing from you that you're facing these kind of challenges, I'm pretty much sure that a lot of normal people who had never had this kind of opportunity, they probably would face challenges themselves. I'd like to hear that. Thank you.
I can't even remember what the question was. This
let me pick it up. and you can ask me again if I've actually responded to your question inaccurately. I did not say that I did not learn anything from the 30 years in Shell and the 5 years in government as deputy minister. No, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I learned how people work on the other side as opposed to, for example, the more what I call task-orientated, goal-orientated approach that was actually adopted on the private sector side. And I can also appreciate the challenges of the government side. Back in Shell, we were bottom-line driven. You know, all I had to do was actually deliver on what I promised to the board, in the December board. If you meet it, the board member said, great guy, if you exceed it, gives you a big bonus, and if you actually do better than that, above target, outstanding, then you get even a bigger bonus. And then someone else comes in, like the other shareholders. Very bottom line driven, very clearly defined, and there's nothing hazy about it. I had to deliver 215, and that was never done before in the history of BLNG, and I did it, whilst we were actually busy rejuvenating the liquefaction plant. The first time that's ever done in a running plant worldwide. So that's quite an achievement. And it wasn't something I did on my own, it was something that we did together. And I think that's very important. So my biggest challenge there then was actually managing my workforce, making sure, for example, each one of them has clear tasks and targets. Each one is clear about what is expected of them. And collectively, and this is again another difference, the company actually rewarded all the employees the bonus, same percentage. Right. Now, in government, you don't have that. You don't have that clarity on, what you're responsible for. I mean, I know I was responsible for the bid under the Ministry of Industry and Primary Resources. And the primary resources are basically, five things. Number one, forestry. Number two, tourism. Number three, it was fishery. Number four, it was agriculture. Number five is basically industry. Very clear. But what I actually had to achieve in each one is not as clearly defined. Despite the attempt, for example, for us to create what I call the balanced scorecard, I did that. But it stayed on paper, but it never actually got translated in terms of individual task and target. Because it is so difficult. Why is it so difficult? Because to realize your task and target requires the full commitment and support of not just the one ministry you are working for, but the other branches in government. And that's tough. Who actually pulls it together? So that's one challenge. But the biggest one for me, I think, is, you know, despite all that, we could have actually done much more individually if we had been a bit more goal-orientated. Does that answer your question?
It's more like, because of what is mentioned just now, your person was very, very capable from UNG to even in the minister office. Now, yes, in the private sector, what sets of challenge that you feel like, you know, that is something which you probably have not done in those your two previous jobs that you feel that could help you right now?
If I may, can I request that we save
quickly,
that?
Just quickly, I think four things that I actually, I mean, firstly, it didn't make me an entrepreneur, that's what I said. Yeah, it's a different set of challenges, being an entrepreneur. I mean, the first discovery, of course, is, you know, I can no longer take for granted, you know, this monthly salary. I did when I was in government, and when I was in BLNG. I can't expect that anymore, being in an owner or co-owner of a company. I had to work for every penny that is actually made by the company.
And three more quick remarks.
The buck stops basically with me. So that's point number one, that's the first realization. But that drives you to actually deliver, and deliver efficiently. Yeah, and very quickly. The second thing is, whilst it did not make me an entrepreneur, it gave me, you know, four things. Number one, yeah, it, for Shell, for example, it gave me the discipline, yeah, work discipline. Number two, it gave me the commercial mindset. Number three, it gave me basically those tools that I talked about, managing people. But most importantly, and this is particularly relevant in the context of being an entrepreneur, I had a head start. I had an extensive network. When I launched my companies, I started off with clarity in my mind as to what I could afford. And I'm saying I should never spend more than 30% on my retirement fund. Yeah? Because I've seen it. I've seen guys who've actually squandered on their retirement funds, and I've seen their families actually living a miserable life because they've invested everything. So for me, it was very clear that I had to find partnership, not just.
Sorry, Dato, I must cut you off, Dato.
Yeah, yeah.
Pardon me.
Not just having deep pockets.
I must cut you off. I must cut you off there. Pardon me. You can have a private chat with Jonathan afterwards. Please pardon me.
Jonathan, I'll see you later.
Thank you very much. Pardon me, I don't mean to be rude to anyone, but I'm just getting to time.